Welcome to Manga Cubes, episode 119, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of October 27th,
2014. The week of Halloween.
Yes, it is. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my interrupting co-host, Mo.
It's the week of Halloween.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I just had to repeat that.
Indeed. Indeed, you did.
Yeah, funny thing was the day before, my little sister just comes in and tells me, "Big brother, I can't go just for Halloween." I'm like, "Why?" "Because it's the devil's holiday." I'm like, "What?" "Oh, right, she's Catholic."
"But your
sister's..." "It's satanic."
"Your sister's Catholic?"
"Little sister's Catholic."
"Really? Huh. I would ask how that happened, considering you're Buddhist, but that's kind of not..." Not what we should be discussing on air.
Nothing to do with that, but yeah.
Huh. Although I have to say that is probably the most interesting thing I've ever heard of about your family.
Yeah, well.
Sorry.
There's more interesting things that I don't want to disclose. Indeed. But yeah, so this week, it's a week of Halloween. Mm-hmm. People getting all this and that with their Halloween stuff. Like, zombies, horror games. Watching people play horror games and seeing them freak out because it's more entertaining that way, I guess.
I suppose it is. This year I've come to realize I'm not a huge Halloween fan, mostly because this is the year where I've realized how absolutely vulnerable to gore I am in movies. So, yeah.
I'm not even a horror fanatic anyway. Yeah. I mean, I can't even be scared when I read horror, but when I watch, I guess it's just the appearance of it. With the jump scares, I hate jump scares more than I get scared of jump scares.
Yeah.
Because hey. they set you up, and then it's like, you're expecting it. So it's like, okay, go ahead, scare me. I'm already ready. You know I'm already ready. I go, I'm like that one guy in Wind Waker where if you roll into a wall, you knock the cuffs down, here's go, just go, go, oh my god, we're going, earthquake, yeah, something like that. Kind of like that, but not exactly that exaggerated.
Indeed.
Speaking of Wind Waker, I've been playing that game, actually. Not the HD remake. Mm. Master, whatever you call
Indeed.
It.
Well, speaking of gore, that's actually a segue into a different part of this episode. But for now, let's go ahead and do the news, shall we? Starting with the Japanese comic rankings for October 13th through the 19th, and in 10th place we have Kenichi, The Mightiest Disciple, Volume 59. Woo!
Let me scrolling down for... Okay. In nine... Wait. Why did I scroll down so much? Man, I hate you. Okay. In ninth place, Assassination Classroom, Volume 11.
In eighth place, Haikyuu, Volume 13.
Seventh place, A Silent Voice, also known as Koi no Kataki, Volume 6.
In sixth place, Chihaya Furu, Volume 26.
Fifth place, Kingdom, Volume 36. Oh, man, I have not gone back into that since.
Yep. Fourth place, Jojo Leon, Volume 8.
Third place, The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 11.
Second place, Magi, Volume 23.
First place, Tokyo Ghoul, Volume 14. How fitting.
And this just shows how weak manga sales are when One Piece isn't being sold. The highest ranking manga this week only sold 289,411 copies. That's kind of ridiculous.
Well, it appeals to certain people.
I suppose so. All right, well, let's talk about the New York Times manga bestseller list for October 12th through the 18th. Starting in 10th place, fix that. Attack on Titan, Volume 2.
9th place, Unofficial Hatsune Miku Mix. What?
I don't know. 8th place.
Someone publishes this.
8th place, and its previous rank was 8th place. It's Maximum Ride, number 8. That's kind of funny.
Triple H, please.
Yes.
7th place, Happy Marriage, Volume 8.
6th place, Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 2.
Oh, got some good news on that one later on. Mm-hmm. 5th place, Kami-sama Kiss, Volume 16.
4th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
Good grief, it's still there. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to laugh if it actually makes the 77th place or something. 77th week, but I bet it will. 3rd place, Fairy Tail, Volume 42.
Second place, Naruto Volume 67.
First place, Vampire Knight Volume 19.
Woo.
I remember there's a bit of news about something about the Texas thing. Texas mayor, some mayor from Texas City wanted to have the volume removed because it promoted Satanism. And I'm like, dude, buddy, do something else for your life.
Yeah, like making it so that men and women can use the same restrooms.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, yeah.
Texas is effed up. That's all I'm going to say.
We have a friend in Texas, don't we?
Yes,
I have friends in Texas.
Everything is bigger in Texas, including the insane liberal people.
Man.
Because, seriously, who would ever think that making bathrooms unisex is a good idea? Jeez.
It's like playing The Sims, putting two bathrooms in there without the walls and expecting a male and female to use it. That's not going to work.
Uh-huh. All right, well, let's move on to North American anime and manga releases for October 26th through November 1st.
Yes.
We have, in anime releases, Cardcaptor Sakura, the movie.
Oh, interesting. Next, we have A Certain Magical Index, Season 2, Part 1 for the Blu-ray and DVD.
Dragon Ball Z, Blu-ray Season 8.
Fairy Tail, Blu-ray DVD Combo Pack, Part 13.
I am behind. Ghost in the Shell Arise, Borders 1 and 2, DVD and Blu-ray.
Fun story. I actually recently just skimmed through the manga itself, and I really skimmed through because there's so much, so convoluted. I mean, I'm not good with sci-fi. I just wanted to see what was the deal with the original. I didn't understand a bit of it at all still.
Yeah.
Anyways, next one. Hakkenden. 8 Dogs of the East Blu-ray Season 2 and DVD collection.
Mm-hmm. Helsing Ultimate, 9 and 10, DVD and Blu-ray.
One Piece, DVD collection 10, uncut.
Otori Monogatari, Nadeko Medusa, Blu-ray set, limited edition.
Pokemon Indigo League, DVD complete collection Season 1. Oh!
Mmm. And then, actually, you can keep going because...
Oh, Season 2 and Set 2 and Set 3 as well. I guess they're actually releasing the entire thing.
Yeah, which I guess... I don't know why they do that. They do an entire season collection and then they do a Part 1, Set 2 and Set 3.
Because you can't stick an entire season on one DVD or Blu-ray.
I don't know what it is. But it's kind of weird. It says Set 2 and Set 3. So did Set 1 get released previously?
I don't know, maybe it's in parts.
Oh, well, anyway.
The whole, parts.
Yeah, and then we've got Sherlock Hound, DVD complete and unabridged series.
The one with the dog, right?
Yep. All right, manga releases.
Okay, we have Alice in the Country of Joker, Circus and Liar's Game, Volume 6.
We have Apple and Honey is Rose-Colored Life, Adult. Crap.
That's a Yahweh, by the way. Anyways, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 2.
Aqua Bless. Crap.
That's a hentai. Barakamon, Volume 1.
Black Butler, Volume 18.
Bloody Brat, Volume 2. Oh, that one.
Bride Story, Volume 6.
The Celebration of Haruhi Suzumiya, Anthology.
Does the Flower Blossom, Volume 1.
Fairy Tale, Volume 43.
The Garden of Words.
The Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat, Volume 3.
I Am Not Your Maid. More porn.
Yeah. Inu Boku Double S, Volume 5.
Judge, Volume 5.
Kingdom Hearts, 358 by 2 Days, Volume 4.
The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya-chan, Volume 8.
No matter how I look at it, it's you guys' fault I'm not popular, Volume 5.
Oninagi, Volume 4.
Wella Magi Madoka Magica, The Different Story, Volume 3.
And then Übelblatt, Volume 0.
I tried to read that. I don't know what's going on. Umineko, When They Cry, Volume 8, Alliance of the Golden Witch, Part 2, okay, I guess.
Okay, seriously, what's going on here? Will You Be My Cute Crossdresser? Porn. I got all the porn this week.
Oh, what the heck? I'm sorry. Well, don't worry, I'll take over next time. Other releases, we have another novel. What kind of title is that? There's come with titles like that. I can come up with a title just The Pot. You don't know what The Pot is, but you want to read it.
Detergent.
Detergent.
We've also got Freedom Wars for the PlayStation Vita.
Street Fighter, Assassin's Fist, live action movie DVD Blu-ray with what?
Yep.
Is that the one? No, that's the Chun-Li one. That's some. What is this?
Oh.
Street Fighter movie live action? I mean, there, I only know two.
Must be a new one. Voltron, from Days of Long Ago, a 30th anniversary celebration.
Nice. Alice in the Country of Diamonds, Wonderful Wonder World, official visual fan book.
Curious. All right, what other news do we have?
Okay, other news. Okay, just a bit. Okay, this is the one I want. Well, hang on, before I get to that one. Flickr, okay, this is interesting. A Flickr user collects covers of Weekly Shonen Jump from the beginning.
That's now, impressive.
It actually shows like an evolution of the issues throughout the years, and I gotta say, when you look at the art and the colors and how it's been printed lately, I mean, it's always in paper, but look at the artwork. It's just, you see a variety of it. It's pretty amazing. Also, this person's a fan of Akira Toriyama.
Well, of course.
He's pretty much devoted on finding it and on finding pretty much all those as well.
Yeah. It is, yeah, that is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is pretty neat, though.
Indeed it is. He's got the ones where, like, Bleach first started. One, I guess, one's a bunch of other ones.
Kind of when One Piece first started.
Yeah. Yeah. Alright, well, that's cool.
On the art change.
Yep, what other news do we have?
There's more important news. Okay, so remember when you said, I heard about a Shokugeki no Soma anime? I'm like, really? I didn't hear about it. I'm like, maybe you must have misheard it. Well, guess what? There actually is one.
I am a prophet.
Yes,
bow before me.
You're probably the next prophet. You're actually not. Whoever was the last prophet is not the last prophet. You're the last prophet.
Yeah, not really. Cool. But still. I've gotten confused as to what's gotten, really, you know, what has gotten announcements for anime and whatnot, so. Could have sworn this was one of them, but I guess I was just off by a week. So.
Well.
And it looks good. I mean, art looks good.
Yeah, so the television anime adaptation has been announced and set for 20 for the year, for next year. 1 month, I don't know. What studio can anime? That's the one I want to know the most, to be honest.
Yeah, what says?
Because after some anime I've seen and reading about what people say about such anime and then realizing that, you know, the animation really does suck, even though I know myself, I try to give it a chance. Some anime I've seen, there are adaptations of originals. Let's just say those studios suck. I mean, they do the stupidest errors. I swear, they don't even seem to check back on what they did.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Rail Wars.
Oh, is that all you were talking about?
I'm talking about Rail Wars. Oh yeah, also World Trigger.
Yes, that too.
Apparently it's more terrible.
But I'm not surprised. The manga wasn't all that great in the beginning either. And it's toy animation. What can we expect? Toy is quite possibly the worst animation studio in existence. The only reason they still exist is because some idiot executive decided that it would be a good idea to give them One Piece, Dragon Ball, and Sailor Moon. I mean, we saw what they did to Toriko. It was an absolute travesty.
I didn't, but you did. I only saw bits of it.
Yeah, heck, what they're doing to One Piece now is an absolute freaking travesty. I mean,
what are you doing to it?
Just not doing a good job. But, you know, I mean, the thing is about that is that, you know, they are, yeah, it has to be said that they are doing a non-stop, constant, you know, one episode a week, and that's hard. That's hard.
Yeah, Pokemon does that too. Japanese company now, whatever. Company.
I don't know. But yeah, I honestly think One Piece would be better if you had a 24 or whatever, 26 episode season, take a couple seasons off to make the next batch of episodes and then do it like that. That would make so much more sense because they could put
Fairy Tail?
Much, No, Fairy Tail didn't quite do that. They were doing the One Piece thing, then they took a bit off, and then they continued.
True, yeah.
So, but I'm talking more consistently, like 26 episodes, then go on. Like, you know, do, like, we could totally do, like, the, you could totally do, like, 26 episodes per arc.
Yeah.
It would totally work. And that, I think, would be a lot better than what they're doing now. But anyway, is there anything else about the Shokugeki no Soma anime that we should know about?
No, I don't really know, because even though they say, even though there's some news about, oh, who the anime studio, I'm still unsure because it just came out and I'm really not sure about what they say. And I don't want to. I just hope it's not Toei or some other animation company that buy it.
They've shown us the anime, you know, the animation, the art samples. That's not Toei. That is not Toei.
That's not Toei. They show us the visual, the key visual, whatever.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty good. I'm trying to figure out which one it could be animated by now.
Well, I guess we'll know in a little bit. But anyway.
I hope it's one that will actually be very faithful to everything Shokugeki no Soma is, including the ecchi.
Pervert.
Hey, that's how it started off as.
Well, yeah. But yeah, anyway, okay. Alright, it is time. Let us talk about a certain something-something. By which I mean a little special segment where we are going to go over a little bit of a theme episode, shall we say.
Okay.
Namely, it's Halloween. We should talk about Halloween-related stuff. Sorry, I'm feeling a little out of it. Okay.
Yeah, too bad we just finished Thriller Bark.
True. That is very true. But we did Thriller Bark in October, so that counts. So, let's see. Yes. Yes. We are going to talk about a horror manga by the famed Junji Ito, master of horror.
The irony in all that.
No, I'm sorry. I can't. People are like, oh, he's so scary. And I mean, he does do scary pictures, but I have a hard time taking the work of his that I've read seriously. Especially, it's like, yo.
I mean, Tomie, man. I can't even find Tomie anywhere. It's an old series.
Yeah, we'll find it somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, like, yo, for example. I mean, that was just an... I don't even know what that was. That was ridiculous.
Actually, now looking at Gyo, I kind of realized that it's pretty much just boomers all over the place. From Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
I hate boomers. They slap you and it hurts.
Indeed. Alright, but this week we are going to talk about his adaptation of Frankenstein.
The original by Mary Shelley.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's her last name?
Mary Shelley.
Oh, I thought she had a middle name.
I can't remember. I mean, Shelley wasn't... Oh, I can't remember. Don't really care. But, you know, yeah, so the basic plot, I mean, we're not going to go over the plot in this, because everyone knows, well, you should know the basic plot. Frankenstein, the young man, becomes obsessed with life and death, goes to become a doctor, decides, hey, I'm going to try, you know, I'm going to make life. So he makes life, and then he freaks out because he's made a monster, and then the monster disappears, and is hunted and hated by everyone, so the monster's like, you know what? I hate the guy that created me, so I'm gonna murder everyone that he loves and frame the other people that he loves for my crimes. And then Frankenstein goes and chases down his monster, and he ends up dead and up in the frozen Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically, yeah, I mean, it's the basic plot. We don't have to go over that. But I will say that I do find, after having read the book, I do find that this manga does quite a good job of remaining faithful to the source material, which I find is very commendable, especially because the original book was quite creepy. But what it does is Junji Ito manages to bring his own special brand of creepy illustrations to the story, which really, really sort of ratchet up the creepiness and the grossness of the whole thing. Namely, especially when you consider that if you're just reading about it, it may not be as creepy, but actually seeing him hacking up corpses and putting them together into one giant, you know, it's a good, yeah, it makes for a very, very gross, very effective visual, which I think was good, which I think makes for a good adaptation. You know, there are certain some liberties that were taken, if I remember the original story properly, but overall, it works quite well, and I find that the reason that it works well is because Junji Ito tends to have a little more of a... His writing style is a little more archaic, shall we say. It's not, you know, it's not quite the same as what you get from modern authors or modern manga writers. And so his own personal writing style fits in very well with a classic such as Frankenstein. So, personally, yeah, I thought it is an excellent adaptation. It manages to make the monster be absolutely ridiculously creepy. Maybe even a little, I don't know, I wouldn't say too creepy, because we are meant to feel sorry for him, but you can also see why people would be absolutely horrified by him. You know, it's not just, oh, humans are these horrible, prejudiced people. It's like, no, seriously, it's a freaking monster. You can't blame people for being terrified. So, but yeah, that was kind of my opinion on it. Mo, what do you say?
Well, the irony of that, I was not even terrified, but when what you said about the whole, we're supposed to feel sorry for him, yeah, I actually felt sorry for him. That was what had me more than the whole, oh my god, it's scary. But then, of course, some people are going to say, well, if Frankenstein was staring you down in the face, would you actually be terrified? To be honest, I have very difficult imagination with visualizing, so I don't think I could. I just say, sorry, buddy, I wish I could help you, but they'll probably try and kill me if I try and help you. Just go this way. I'll tell them you went this way. But yeah, I've never read the original story. I've never seen the movie that was based off the original story, the famous one, whichever one it was called.
Yeah.
Frankenstein. And, like I said, I'm not really a horror buff. And I've only read a few of Junji Ito's works, including, you know, Yo and Tomie, which is the one I really like to read. Well, not really reading it, but I just actually want to prove to Derek that this guy can be scary in his own way.
I don't buy it.
All right, you don't buy it. Fine.
Well, Tomie, we'll see if we can find it for next year.
With Tomie, it gave me a similar vibe, like Mermaid 4, or Mermaid Scar, whatever it was called.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's the vibe it gave me. I was like, it's just scary in some way, though. I mean, horror these days, it's all about jump scare, and it's not even about the whole, you know, like, making you imagine these things and making you be freaked out. When horror's trying to be done comic-wise, it's hard to be scared, to be honest. It's hard to be scared visually. When the horror's unseen, that's where the horror is true at its finest.
Right.
It's how I see it. So when it comes to horror and comics, I don't get scared. Maybe I haven't yet to read one that is scary for me. I mean, so far the only one was Tomie, and that one, that's old, and I don't know where that one is anymore.
Yeah.
Disappeared somewhere.
All right, well, that was our Halloween special. Now let's move on to something even more frightening. Excessive fan service. It's time to talk about Fairy Tail Volume 43.
Also known as the fan service volume.
Yeah, one would think that would be the entire series, but no. This is the one that goes crazy. Yeah, because we've got... Well, to start off, we've got Natsu and Lucy that fight the dude that explodes stuff.
Jackal.
And then we go to the other members and... We got a scene where one of the demons that confronts Elfman and Lisanna can control them and is using Elfman to choke Lisanna. And we discover that the thing that people are trying to hide is called Face. It's a magic pulse bomb that can eliminate all the magic on the continent. And the reason the demons want to set it off is because they don't use magic, they use curses, which...
Yeah, it's like curses aren't magic.
Yeah, that's stupid, but nonetheless, I...
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, and you've got Urza and Mira that end up getting captured. You've got Jalal that's fighting against the Oración Seis and revealing that he knows their names.
Oración Cinco, you mean?
Indeed, true. And then we've got the scene where things get crazy fan servicey, which is but not really in an appealing way. Namely that Urza is stripped down, chained to the wall in a cellar in a dungeon, and is tortured, basically. It's quite messed up.
It's quite mainly the fetish of some other people, though.
Indeed, yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it
Mashimo, is... Why would you do that?
Yeah, it is... Yeah, I don't know why, but then we also find out that Natsu finds them, but he gets captured as well and thrown into prison with Lisanna, who is still alive, but also naked. For some reason, these demons really like stripping people naked, and...
Because it's, okay, the whole stripping people naked thing is meant to be like a whole psychological thing, you know? When you're stripped of everything, not just your weapons, your clothes, mm-hmm. you feel like you're an animal, you're helpless, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's a psychological attack.
And also, it's the smart way to do things, you know? I mean, granted, everyone knows that Mashima does this because he wants to draw his characters naked, but... It's a smart move on the part of the villains, namely that. I mean, it would probably be a little... It would work better if it weren't for the fact that these people know how to use magic, but, you know, if you're naked, there's, you know, you just... It's really hard to escape from prison if you're naked.
Yeah, like, where are you going to hide your little lockpick, you know?
Yeah. Well, there are places.
Nope. Yeah, not for a man, though.
Oh, yes, there are.
Ew.
Yes, ew. Indeed. Yeah, we also find out that apparently another reason that this volume seems like the fan service volume is because we discover that it's got lesbian demons in it.
Yes, I mean.
Which, good grief, well, Mashima, how many fetishes are you trying to how many fetishes are you trying to get out in just one volume?
Well, he got one fetish right. I mean,
he has all the fetishes.
He does.
Yeah.
It's toned down and not gone too far.
Yeah, and then of course we've got Elfman, who is being controlled and is supposed to destroy his guild. And let's see.
It's kind of funny how it goes. Like, oh, I must destroy the guild to save my sister. But I was like, dude, if you do that, you'll kill yourself too. Hmm. Who's gonna save her then? Not so.
Indeed. Indeed. But yeah, so... Mm-hmm. And then of course we find out... Yeah, and then of course there's a scene where it turns out that... What's his face? Zero appears again and kills Jalal, except... No, he didn't. It was an illusion.
I read that chapter the first time. I was like, wait, what happened? I'm like, oh. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, Mash...
I totally thought about Oración Seis because I didn't really care for them much.
Yeah, I'm really amused by how, you know, I mean, the demons are trying to find Jalal because they want his, you know, they want his key from the, you know, for Face. And you have this scene where he ends up getting shot and then suddenly, you know, like, one of the demons like, wait, did you find him? And the person looking for him, the former chairman is like, oh, even better. And you're like, oh no, it's even better because Jalal is dead. But then it turns out he isn't. So Mashima really loves him, his, you know, fake outs.
we'll get to that one at the very beginning of the volume later, though.
Yes, yes, we should. Because we have the jackal that his body's a bomb, so he's going to blow up the city. But then Happy takes him up high into the sky, and it blows up safely. And... Mashima doesn't even try to do it like Oda, where Oda with Pell, like, pretended, like, oh no, seriously, he's dead, oh no, but then later on he's like, he's alive! No, with Mashima, it's like, you know, by the end of the chapter, we see that Happy is okay. And I think that's kind of part of the problem with Fairy Tail at the moment, which, well, you know, it's, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say whether this is a problem or not. I do feel that it is a problem. It's that... Fairy Tail does not have any tension in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no tension.
It's like, you know nothing bad is going to happen. And so, and Mashima has pulled the, oh, look, nothing bad, something bad happened. No, no, wait, no, it didn't. So many times that you just can't believe him anymore. So, which I guess if he's leading up to a big reveal where turns out that an important character like Natsu or Lucy or whatnot die and actually stay dead, if that's what he's going for, then I'll say, okay, you know what, that's totally worth it. But at the same time, it's just, at the moment, you just know he's not going to actually kill the characters off.
You did bring up something pretty interesting, though. When it comes to tension, most shonen varieties, they cannot actually depict tension well enough or even give tension for their stories these days. Yeah. If they were actual writers, they would not make it. Just saying.
Yeah, it's just such a strange thing, you know. This
not even Oda would make. I'm sorry, but even not even actually, I'm not sorry. He wouldn't make it at all.
And I think, and I think this isn't so much a problem with their writing as it is that people's tastes are changing. Like there is something nice to be said for a series where I can feel, you know, I can pretend that there's tension, but in the end, the characters are all okay, you know. But there's something to be said for the series where, you know, anyone could die. Even this main established character can die, you know? And so I kind of blame Game of Thrones for that.
Second or the later books or whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, that was Fairy Tail. I have to say, this was one where I was almost thinking I probably shouldn't buy this just because of the massive fan service in it. But then again, at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I want to have the complete collection. I still like the majority of this series, so it's worth owning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to One Piece Chapter 52.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, let's see, where were we? Ah, yes, we carry on. We pick up from where...
We left off at the best place ever, last volume.
Luffy punches out one of the Celestial Dragons.
It was better than Falcon Punch.
It was indeed. Too bad he didn't know Red Hawk yet.
Ah.
That would have been nice.
Oh my god, that was perfect.
But yeah, basically this volume we carry on with the aftermath of they have to escape. They meet Rayleigh, the Silver's Rayleigh, the former first mate aboard Gold Roger's ship. And he helps them, free Kami and all the other slaves. The slaves get away. And then Luffy and Trafalgar Law, and Eustace Kid end up joining forces to fight the Marines. And we get to see all their crazy devil fruit powers. Like, Law's has the ability to...
amputate people or something. Yeah,
basically, it's like the op-op fruit where he can... You know, he can cut off your head without actually killing you and stuff like that. So it's pretty crazy. And then we've got Eustace Kid, who I guess he's... I'm not sure exactly what his ability is.
It's like magnetic powers.
It's kind of magnetic, but I swear I saw him attract things that weren't magnetic. But I'm not... I would say gravity, except we know that's not the case.
Yeah, we have another guy that has gravity later on.
Exactly, so... I don't know. But yeah. And then the rest of the volume is... Luffy and his group talking to Rayleigh and Chucky and getting a little more backstory about, you know, Roger and stuff. Almost getting the backstory of what the secret of the Poneglyphs are and what the secret of the One Piece is, which Robin and Luffy both decide they don't actually want to hear. They want to find out on their own.
Usopp! You lost brownie points there from me. Lots of it.
Oh dear, Usopp. And while that is happening, we have the fights between between these creations known as pacifistas that look like Bartholomew Kuma. And then we also have the Admiral, Kizaru.
Actually, I kind of like this guy. I don't know why. Yeah. I mean, at first I hate him because he was part of something that was horrible to, you know, to the crew, but he's an admiral, he's badass, you can't hate that.
True. What I really like about these scenes is that we get to see exactly how dangerous, mm-hmm. you know, these pacifistas and how dangerous Kizaru is, so that when we end up having Luffy and his group face off against a pacifista and just barely manage to beat it, we see how screwed they are when more pacifistas show up, and then Kizaru shows up himself, and also Sentomaru, the assistant to Vegapunk.
I also hated that guy way more than Kizaru when I first saw him.
Yeah, he also what I think is interesting about him is how he has the whatchamacallit. Yeah, he was the first real introduction we have to the concept of hockey. Well, yeah. Besides Rayleigh's, you know, using the Conqueror's hockey. This is the first time we get to see, you know, this is how people, you know, fight in the New World. Mm-hmm. And then of course, things go to worse when Bartholomew Kuma shows up and he causes Zoro to disappear.
Yeah, that one.
And I have to say that just a little note before we get into what happens in the next volume is that this was kind of the moment where I thought, you know what? If this were a different author, he wouldn't have had them all get, you know, separated. He would have killed them all. Which
yeah.
I think would have been made for a very, very tense, you know, tense series, but at the same time, it also would have been the wrong thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there is something to say for the tension of, oh, anyone can die, even the main characters, oh, but, you know, as bold as a move like that would be, it would also mean that most readers would say, you know what, screw you, I'm done here.
I don't want to get to know these new characters. You just killed the ones I got to know after all, like, what?
Oh yeah, just imagine how awful that would have been if Luffy's crew had actually died and then his new crew members had been all the people that he picked up in Impel Down.
Oh man.
That would have just, I mean, sure, it would have been really interesting, but it would have been like, ah, no, that's awful. But the nice thing about Oda is that he's a good enough writer that he can write the story as if that was what happened for about 2 years, but then he goes back to the way the crew was before. And mm-hmm. So I think he basically had his cake and he ate it, is what happened here. So, but yeah, this is a absolutely fantastic volume. Rereading this volume, I was just, oh, One Piece is so good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it so much.
what I liked about with the whole part of the world when they met Rayleigh was how he was talking about how, you know, all these stuff, like he mentioned Shanks and Buggy and how they used to be
mm-hmm.
part of the crew. And if you recall from volume three of One Piece, if you recall that one page uh-huh. I pointed out, that guy who tried to stop those two was Rayleigh.
Uh-huh, exactly. So you
that's how freaking amazing Oda is. He knows how to take things that we've seen that most people would generally mm-hmm. forget, but if you reread something, you'll come back and you go, wait, oh my god. What? And you just connect the two and bam.
Yeah, although I'm pretty sure that, I don't know, maybe he had that in mind back then, but...
Maybe he did.
What probably happened is that, you know, he just decided later on, you know what, I'm going to have them be on the Pirate King's vessel, so I'll just take this character design that I had from back then and use that. But at the same time, it just feels like the way he's presented in Volume 3 and the character design in general just makes you feel like, no, this was a guy he had plans for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was absolutely fantastic. Volume 52 is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to Volume 53, which is absolutely heart-wrenching because the first couple chapters are Luffy and his crew being obliterated.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, why? But then we get moved, and I, it's just too painful. I can't go into details. But, yeah, no, it was, this was heavy.
Oh, don't say so-and-so vanished, so-and-so vanished, so.
Yeah. When reading this for the first time, this felt a lot like how the beginning of Water 7 felt, you know, with Usopp turning against the crew and fighting Luffy.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what this felt like. It was that big emotional punch moment where Oda shows that, hey, I'm not going to follow the, I'm not going to always be following the status quo. You're going to have to deal with some heavy stuff here. And this really was heavy. And especially just, I mean, we know that they're all alive and they get back together. But at the same time, it's just the way it's drawn, the absolute emotion that goes into it. is absolutely fantastic, you know, because you feel Luffy's pain. You feel Nami, Robin, and the others fear as they are being attacked by Bartholomew Kuma. Jeez, Kuma. But yeah. So, moving on from that, we discover that Luffy he's after he eats a wild boar, which that was hilarious. The wild boar is trying to eat him, and then Luffy uses his gigant pistol, and the boar is like, ah, crap. And next thing you see is the boar's skeleton.
Yep.
But yeah, and then he eats some mushrooms, and one of them turns out to be a parasite mushrooms that causes him mushrooms to grow over him, and he is found by three women, one of which is hot and tall, and one of which is,
By our standards, it's not.
Well, let's just say that finally Oda has learned to draw a woman that is not an absolute bombshell.
Yeah.
That is the nicest thing that can be said. But, yeah, turns out we discover that they take him back to the village, which is filled with women, and for some reason they think Luffy is a woman. And they help him by pulling out the...
considering his voice actor.
That is true. But yeah, so they pull the mushrooms off, they burn the roots, and then they wash him, and we get this is the One Piece fan service volume. Because we get to see the very sexy lady washing Luffy while she is topless. And then the only thing that ruins the fan service slightly is the part where they realize, oh, wait a minute, we forgot a mushroom. Oh, that's funny, it looks different from the other mushrooms. Here, let's pull it off. Oh dear, that's weird. It doesn't come off, it just stretches. And of course, it's the not hot one that is doing it, which probably Oda decided to avoid getting the rating of his series changed drastically.
Yeah.
And then
hey, Oda, we got a problem. We're going to transfer you over to monthly magazine. Jump.
But the funniest part about this is, the thing is to keep in mind is that, yes, Oda draws as we find out, her name is Marguerite, and he does draw her in a very appealing way, but at the same time, the way he draws, he doesn't have an entire single page showing just the topless Marguerite. It's more, she's topless, but she's in the corner, you know? So it's not like, you know, it's fan service, but it's not fan service that's gone haywire. Mm. But we discover that the elder of the village discovers that, wait, that's not a woman, that's a man. And then we discover that Luffy has ended up on an island of women, Amazon Lily, where if a man steps foot, he forfeits his life.
Sanji wouldn't care.
Man, Sanji almost forfeited his life just seeing Boa Hancock when she was nice.
That was from far away, though.
Exactly. Just imagine what would happen.
Good point.
The blood pressure would be too great. He would start bleeding from his nose, ears, eyes, and other places. Gross, I know. But yeah, anyway, so we get a little introduction to this place. We see a variety of different women, and this is what is kind of fun the first time that we read this, because, you know, normally it's all the women, either they look absolutely hideous, or they look exactly like Nami, or maybe Robin, with Oda. But here, what we have is... you get to see Oda actually forcing himself to think up of different designs. Granted, you do get the typical looks like Nami or looks like Robin designs, and you also get the typical ugly designs, but you also get to see some character designs that don't look like Nami or Robin, but are still attractive character designs. You know what I mean? But of course, he also makes sure to point out that strength is beauty, as we see a very large woman beating up a very hot woman that looks like Robin.
Yep.
Yeah, and then of course we get the scene where Luffy wakes up and his clothes are gone! What the heck, are these two in sync by several years, by which I mean Mashima probably read this and was like, oh hey, I'm gonna totally have my main character end up naked too. Except I'm joking about that. But yeah, so it's basically the scene where Luffy and all the Amazons are like, so wow, men can stretch. That's so weird. And they're like, hey, before you put your clothes on, what's that? Why are those things down there? And it's like, things, don't you know what they are? It's like, you're weird. These are my family jewels. And I would like to point out that when this first came out, when this part of the series came out, it was before the Shonen Jump Alpha.
Yeah, way
so
before.
So we were reading Scanlations, which of course meant that they used the original.
We had no way to get to it at the time, okay?
Yes, yes, it's fine. I think we've given them plenty of money by this point.
Yes.
But the point being that the Scanlators, of course, stuck with, rather than actually translating, they stuck with the Japanese phrase, which is Kintama, which means golden balls. And at the time, I was thinking, once this comes out officially, it will be translated as Family Jewels. You mark my word. And there we go, Family Jewels.
Wow, you were so right. I can't hire you. Okay, but yeah, the funny about this particular chapter was that when I was reading, this is the only chapter I was reading in a college campus. And for some reason, I had some of my college mates around me for some reason, because they know I'm the type that always reads One Piece last after Naruto and Bleach, in that order. And they were just reading, they were like just commenting, and I'm like, I just remember because they're just commenting some things, and I'm like, it is awkward. Why are you guys behind me reading this?
Yeah, giggity. And many a fan fiction or thought of fan fiction was.
What makes sense?
Yeah. But yeah, many a fan fiction or thought of maybe I'll write a fan fiction about this was spawned by via these chapters.
Yep.
Rated M for
Monkey.
Indeed. Rated M for Monkey D. Luffy has sex with all the Amazons, because that's the only thing fanfiction is about. But yeah, and of course, and here's the thing. I mean, granted, this is kind of quite possibly the most shameless thing Oda has ever done. Sort of. Yeah, well, that not counting the anime, who can be shameless just with the character designs. Because you look at, like, you know, you compare, like, for example, Viola in the current anime versus when she was introduced in the manga, and you're like, how did your breast size quadruple? This is ridiculous. But
I've not seen episode, nor have I planned to watch until.
But yeah, I think the thing about Oda is that even when he's doing fan service, is that he still gives us something else. You know, with certain authors and manga artists, there's this sort of implicit understanding that the moment you see this fan service scene, you will take a couple minutes to pause and deal with some personal matters before you continue reading the chapter. You know what I mean?
Or save the picture and save it in a folder.
So. Yeah. With Oda, it's more like, you know, sure, there's women in skimpy outfits, but what's happening is so much fun to read. Mm-hmm. You know, we see that they instantly, you know, they don't trust him, and they instantly decide, okay, you know what? He yelled at us. We must kill him. So, yeah, Luffy manages escaping, and we have a yet another fan service scene where the giant woman, Athalandra, and when I say giant, I mean as in twice the size of a regular human, not obese, because she is.
He was literally a giant. Well, not the giant. The giant.
Not like giants, but Oda, the size of humans is a little unusual in Oda's world, but
she's like Andre the Giant, kind of.
She is quite possibly the tallest human woman in One Piece, I'd say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she ends up blocking Luffy's ways via use of her
Oppai.
Indeed. And it is, yeah, and it's just such a weirdly bizarre fan service, set of fan service, that at the same time, you're just, oh, this is, you know, this is bizarre, and in any other series, this panel would be a lot larger. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just like it's a third of the page on the bottom. And so Oda knows how to do fan service. Every once in a while, some fan service is good, but he also knows that you got to stick with the actual story. But anyway, moving on, we get the introduction to Boa Hancock, said to be the most beautiful woman in the world, which fans of Nami and Robin may debate that.
But really, when she was introduced, man, everybody went bonkers.
Yeah, at first I was like, I don't know. But then later on I was like, all right, she's all right.
Yeah, she's all right, but not.
But yeah, turns out that she has the ability to turn people that have lust in their heart to stone. And again, what's also really nice with her crew, what we see of her crew is that, again, it's a good example of here are women that are attractive but don't look like your average One Piece women, you know? Mm-hmm. By which I mean two of them are attractive, with a third of one, which the third one possibly, maybe, except
maybe.
Perhaps not. But yeah, and then basically the rest of it is finding out that Boa Hancock is an absolutely horrible person.
Yep.
And then Luffy, they clear out the castle so that she can take her bath because she has a dangerous mark on her back, the Eye of the Gorgon, which anyone that sees it will turn to stone. And so Luffy falls into the bath and sees her back, but he doesn't turn to stone. And then so Boa Hancock decides to use her love mellow power, which should turn him to stone. And Luffy's like, oh no, it's the slowpoke photons, as the translation calls it, but the Captain Foxy's ability. And he's like, oh, turn slow.
No beam.
Yeah, and then Luffy is just like, nothing happens. And Hancock just has his pause where she's like, what? And uses it again, but nothing happens. And he's just standing there with that hilarious look on his face. And
he just made the same face in a row.
Yeah, and just as he's just like standing there with his pursed lips, and he just does this thing where he just cocks his head to the side with a big question mark, and then Hancock and her sisters do the same. And it's kind of hilarious. So, but yeah, he gets captured. They decide, you're going to fight, and you'll be executed. But then Marguerite and her three friends get turned to stone, and Luffy is pissed about that. And then they're like, we're going to feed you to this jaguar or panther or whatever it is. And then he just punches it out.
One shot.
Yep. And then, of course, you got the fun interaction where Hancock is all, yeah, yes, I can do whatever I want because I'm beautiful. And Luffy's like, you make me sick. And yeah, so he fights her sisters, who it turns out that they have the ability to turn into snakes. We've got the python and the spitting cobra model of snake fruit. And yeah, we basically get the fight, and they are stronger than Luffy because they have haki that makes it hard for him to attack them. But then it turns out that his gear second actually allows him to, you know, damage them a little bit and be faster mm-hmm. than them. And then and you got a great scene where they I don't know how this works, but one of them, Sender Sonia and Marigold, was it, I think?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's her name.
Yeah, Sender Sonia uses, like, uses her hair and turns it into snakes. Then Marigold is like, or whatever, is like, sets it on fire, I guess. At first I was like, wait, how is she making her hair fire? But then I realized, oh wait, she actually uses a match. I was like, I never noticed that until this very moment. But yeah. But of course it doesn't do them much good because Luffy managed to knock them into each other, so Marigold sets Sander Sonia on fire, and then they try to get away, but the tails are tied together. And of course you've got Luffy standing in front of the tails with his doing the victory sign. And then yeah. Sander Sonia's top gets burned off, exposing the thing on her back that Luffy decides, oh, wait a minute, I better cover this for them. Mm-hmm. And and the fan service continues for people with very bizarre fetishes. Do you like topless snake boobies? Well, Oda's got you covered. I'm sorry, that's just, it's just so silly.
Lamia.
Yeah. It's just, it's so silly, the whole, it's like, oh, hey, look, she's topless now, but she's also a snake. I'm pretty sure there's somebody really out there that likes that.
I didn't really care for that.
Yeah, but we also get a great scene at the end where, you know, Hancock realizes, oh, he protected us, and she's, you know, gets emotional. But then she still decides, I'm going to prove that you're a jerk. You can only choose one thing. Either I turn these three back into flesh and blood, or you get the ship. And then Luffy is like, oh, hey, you'll turn them back? Thanks! And, of course, Hancock and her sisters are absolutely shocked because they were totally expecting him to forget about those two and those three and just ask for the ship. And then we have this.
I'm sure beta readers thought that, too.
Oh, come on. No.
Kidding.
Luffy would never do that.
No, he wouldn't. I mean, when someone helps out, he would show gratitude for them anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then we also get another scene where you get the my transitions need some work, but we get then see Hancock shows Luffy the mark on her back, and we see it's like a circle with four triangles coming out of it. And of course the scene is absolutely hilarious because Luffy's like, oh hey, you got food? Sorry, where's the food? Hey, how come you're naked? And I'm like, yeah, wait, why did you take your top off and show off your front? Why not just be turned around immediately? But okay. It was, yeah. Turns out that he thought that the mark looked like the mark that Hachi had on his forehead, but then it turns out, but then the Elder Nyan shows up and says that, oh hey, you know, this guy, he totally beat up one of the Celestial Dragons. And then Celestia's like, I'm Hancock is like, oh wow, you have no regard for your own life, you're just like him. Here, I'll tell you everything, and she explains how that the mark is, it's the hoof of the Celestial Dragon that is branded onto the slaves of the World Nobles. And it turns out that Hancock and her sisters were slaves. And you get some pretty creepy imagery, but fortunately Oda knows to keep things small. You got the scene, because you get to see the scene where Hancock is branded for the first time, and you're just like, oh, bro, geez, that's horrifying. And then at the same time, you have to consider, okay, what do jackasses in power do to slave women? And then One Piece suddenly becomes significantly darker, and as much as I would like to ignore the possibility of that having happened, one has to consider the fact that Sandor Sonia's has an absolutely... Her reaction is just like, this is some severe PTSD here. And then also another interesting point that I feel needs to be pointed out is you see the, when you see the flashback as they are escaping, you see Hancock and Sandor Sonia and Marigold, and the thing that I feel that is worth noting is that Marigold used to be a lot thinner, you know? And so, and now I'm not going to act like I am a, like I'm an expert on the psychological reactions to sexual assault, but I will posit the suggestion that is worth considering by people that know more about this. What do you think it says that before this traumatic experience, she was thin, and then later she became much heavier? Now, it could just be that she just gained weight because that happens, or could it possibly be that she gained weight because subconsciously she wanted to make herself less attractive? Is that a... I mean, I don't know anything about the psychological impact of any of this. I'm just saying, is that a possibility? It is a question that I'm asking people that actually know about the psychology of these kind of things. Is that something that happens? Is what I'm wondering. Which, if it is, then son of a bitch, Oda, you are freaking dark. Like, seriously. But, yeah. Fortunately, that's passed, and we get to find out that the Sun Pirates, they all got marked with the symbol of the sun to hide their the mark of their of being slaves after Fisher Tiger freed them, and the other members of the pirate crew got that same mark so that nobody could tell who was a slave before. And then, of course, Hancock is touched by Luffy's sincerity and says, I will lend you my ship. And then after that dark, depressing bit, we get to the part that's actually quite fun, because you see Luffy doing his regular partying thing and eating, and all the women seem to enjoy his presence, which is kind of hilarious, I have to say, for a man that does not, or for a boy that does not pay attention to sexual matters, Luffy is quite possibly the greatest ladies' man of manga history. Because he didn't even have to try, and he has an entire island obsessed with him. And, okay, what are you showing me here?
Yeah, the page, and I just realized, I just noticed, like, oh, wow, you're right.
About, Marigold being thinner in the past?
Way thinner in the past!
So I'm thinking, since you mentioned that, there is something to be said here. Oda had varying character designs for this character in the past and the present for a reason. Okay, often the easiest answer is, you know, the right answer, but when one has to consider that what sounds like it makes more sense, the fact that she was thin but now she got fat because years have passed and she ate too much, or is there a different reason for it? Which, who knows? But anyway, we also get to see that Luffy he gets to realize that one of the Amazon women there would be good friends with Nami because she's charging the other women to touch him. Which, if that doesn't sound suggestive, I don't know what. But yeah, and then of course he manages to escape, and Marguerite takes him to Elder Neon, who tells him about how the things that are going down, how the Marines are going to execute Ace, and then Luffy's like, I better go save my brother before I do anything, before I get back with my friends.
It's more like he wanted to get back with his crew, but the problem was that there would not be enough time to get back to Ace, so he chose the only option he had was to go save Ace.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, and one can imagine that his friends would obviously understand.
Yeah.
But then he decides, okay, we need to go right away. Let's see if I can convince Hancock to go with the Marines to Impel Down and then to Enies Lobby. But it turns out that Hancock is sick. I can relate. But turns out that then when she hears that Luffy is leaving tomorrow, Neon says, tomorrow morning, and Hancock is like, ah! And then Neon is like, oh dear, I know what's happened here. So she has Hancock talk to Luffy, and Luffy's like, hey, can you please go with the Marines so that I can go to Impel Down and save my brother? And her sister's like, how dare you say that? You know about our sister's emotional scars. He's like, you're heartless. And then Hancock's like, okay, I'll go wherever you wish. And then Elder Neon reveals that Hancock's illness was love sickness, which in the One Piece world is a sickness that can actually kill Amazon women.
Because it killed the previous empress.
Yeah, which is kind of... And Elder Neon was impacted by it as well, but she left the island, assumedly, to be with the man that she'd fallen in love with. And so, yeah. It's an interesting concept, which, on the one hand, I'm trying to decide whether it's sexist or not. It is kind of hilarious. And, yeah, so this volume was... I think it's actually really good that we took a break in our review of One Piece so that we could talk about this volume at the same time that we talked about the volume of Fairy Tail with its excessive fan service. What I want to say is that this volume of One Piece has direct fan service in that there are topless women or women with big breasts, etc. and whatnot, and implicate. But what really makes it work better as fan service is the whole... is some of the implications that Oda doesn't necessarily even put in there, but the scenario is such that fans can look at the scenario and think, hey, this is kind of hot. I will now think on this. Which I think is a more effective use of fan service than just flat out showing naked women or naked women where you don't see the details. You know what I mean? Which... Yeah. In a way, I mean, there is something to be said for less is more in erotic writing and art.
Less is more.
Indeed, like the latest chapter of Genshiken, which is both hilarious but at the same time crushed my spirit. But we'll talk about that when we get there.
Ah.
Yeah. So, anyway, Volume 53, it was quite fantastic. I think I enjoyed this a lot more than I did the first time around. I think the problem that I had the first time around was that I was like, where are the other crew members? I want them. Well, now that I know they'll be back, I can enjoy this a little bit more on the second time around and notice things that I hadn't noticed before.
Mm-hmm. Many things. I don't want to mention it because we don't want to spend too much time on this right now.
Indeed. Some things that are really disturbing that I wish I hadn't have noticed. But nonetheless.
Yeah.
What I will say with Oda is that he's very much like the author Terry Pratchett, in that he can imply absolutely horrifying things while at the same time not making the overall work about the horrifying things that he's implying, or not make it absolutely horrendous, you know? Like, it's not, you know, it's still One Piece and it's still funny, even though horrible things happen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was good stuff. Now I need to, let's see. Let me just check the releases for, where'd it go? And I forgot where I put the, oh, jeez, I forgot where I put the thing, the releases list. Where is it?
The manga releases list, right? You need to update that.
I do, yeah. I don't know, there's something weird about it that's not letting me update it properly. But yeah, let's see. Fairy Tail Volume 43. The next one is on the 3rd, which is... Oh, we've got Ranma and Nisekoi that are coming out next. So... I don't think we'll be able to read those in time because they come out on the 3rd and the 4th. So I don't think that would be enough time to read them before we record the next episode. Do you want to just continue with One Piece for that week?
I like to try and continue One Piece and finish up part 1, you know, part 1.
Yeah, I do have some that I'll need to purchase, but I'll just go and order those from Amazon.
Or try to get as far as we can up until a certain point, because the next... volume with the it starts the arc that to me is my least favorite arc.
Series for me. All right, well, let's go. Okay, so for next week, what we will do is volumes 54, 55, and 56 of One Piece. Okay,
52. Okay, yeah, three.
I said three.
Do you
want to do three or do you want to do two?
Well, I mean, it's One Piece, it's very detailed and stuff.
This is true. Okay, in that case, for this time, we'll do 54 and 55.
All right.
We'll do two volumes. And then the following week after that, after Ranma 1/2 is released and Nisekoi is released this coming week, we'll go over those for the following week. And then I think after that is like Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 5 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a little bit of a break where we can do some more One Piece. So I'm so close to being caught up on my stuff. So anyway, let's talk about this week's chapters so that we can hurry up because, I ache everywhere. Okay.
Just stand up and walk around for a bit if you want.
I'm just kind of stretching. Oh, geez, my muscles are so stiff. I might have to take an aspirin or something. But
so
anyway, let's talk about the new series, Hi-Fi Cluster Chapter 4. So I guess Hi-Fi Cluster is the series that we're talking about now, which... I'm a little depressed about because this was my
least favorite. To be honest, I kind of regret it myself now. Yes, I know. Like, but you, that means you voted for it. Why are you depressed about it? Because, like, thank God, even though Jules wasn't that, you know, it did feel like it was too full of itself, it did have interesting premise and better character design.
Yeah.
And Sporting Salt, actually, despite the facial expressions that I swear need to be toned down every once in a while.
Yeah.
Had better art. A little better art too.
Yeah, I mean,
Hi-Fi Cluster feels very generic, and I don't like the main character.
That is exactly how I feel. This feels less like something fresh and interesting, and it feels more like, honestly, it feels like another World Trigger, is what it feels like, you know? It's the art style is that very generic, this is shonen art. You know, Judo's still had the shonen art, but at the same time also had a little bit of variation going on there and made things a little more interesting. Granted, some of the variation meant that some of the men that were drawn were absolutely horrifying, but still, it was more interesting looking, and we also had, and there's more life in the art, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything about the Hi-Fi Cluster just feels a little stiff, you know what I mean?
Like, the background is empty. Where is the background?
Yeah. And it's just in general, exciting things are happening, but it really does feel like I'm reading another World Trigger, which is, I mean, World Trigger is fine, but that's not what I wanted to read here. It's just so bland, and Judo's, there was more life in the art than there is here. With Sporting Salt, there was more, you know, the art was very interesting and something
and
that had, I don't that usually get.
Yeah, and they're interesting, but... decision!
Yes. But anyway, for this one, we get two chapters. They hunt down the biker gang, which I'm like, whatever. And then they meet the another member who, his thing is he can basically, you know, have, you know, he can decipher 10 people talking at once, etc. And they go after these criminals, and they've got robots and stuff, whatever, I don't know. I did think it was interesting how the dude's special ability allowed him to control, like, these robot hands, because he basically, it's like he has 10 minds, so he can control 10 robot hands, or I guess...
It's like a squid.
Yeah, independently, which I think is really interesting. So, but yeah, other than that, I don't think I'm going to be very interested in this series. It's just too bland.
You know, the panels and... Oh, man. Well...
Indeed.
Let's see how far this one goes before it doesn't make it.
We shall see. But anyway, chapter 765 of One Piece, Minyan, the Isle of Fate, and we have continue Jinbei's solitary journey. Suddenly the ruins destroyed our town, the creatures wrecked our ships, and the offerings disappeared. And yeah, it's basically just Jinbei standing and talking to these people. While kids are climbing on him, which I think is...
He's really huge.
He is, but he's not even the biggest guy around, but...
No, he isn't.
Compared
but
to
he's a whale shark, though. He's a whale shark fisherman.
Yeah. But compared
that's the biggest
to
shark there
human,
is.
Well, yeah, but compared to your average human, he's huge, but compared to, like, Doflamingo, he's not that big.
Doflamingo, I'm taller than you.
Yeah.
And, for me.
And that is kind of adorable that the kids are all climbing around on him. So,
yep.
But yeah, so we get into the chapter where... I would like to say, ha 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 ha, I was partly right. It turns out that Doflamingo has discovered the intelligence on the op-op food, and he wants his most trusted man, Corazon, to eat it.
Stop being right on the money!
Yeah. Except that, you know, except that I was wrong in my assumption that they would, that Doflamingo would lure them back and then say, hey, eat this. Come on, eat this. No, Corazon does the smart thing where he's like, hey, we're going to take this fruit and make you eat it, and then we'll get it before Doflamingo. And we also get, but we also get to see that Doflamingo is suspecting that Corazon is, has been feeding intel to the Navy, because when he was with them, Tsuru kept finding them, but now that he's gone, Tsuru can't find them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yep. And then, let's see, we move on. Yeah, basically, we got a great... And of course, we get a great scene where Corazon is contacts Sengoku, and you've got the you get to hear from the other end where it's like Sengoku is trying to get rid of Garp. He's like, "Get out of here!" He's like, "What? I brought you rice crackers. You can't serve me some damn tea." And then, of course, he reveals that, "Hey, I know about the op-op fruit and." So he gets the information and decides, I'm going to steal it from them before anyone else can steal it. But it turns out that Law is taking a turn for the worse. And what's kind of interesting is that there's a scene where Law says, hey, you know, the government killed my family and everyone I cared for. If you're a member of the government, if you're in the Navy, be honest. And Rosinante says he is not a Navy man, which I'm curious. Either he's lying or there's something... to be revealed here that we don't know about yet.
Is he a revolutionary? No.
That would be an awesome twist. Mo, you better be right.
Well, you know, if he's not one or the other, he's got to be something else.
It would totally make sense. I mean, it would work because he's trying to get in good with the government so he can spy for the revolutionaries. While at the same time, he also wants to stop his brother, who is absolute evil. So he's working with the government to take his brother down, while at the same time using that as an opportunity to get in good with the government, which then gives him the opportunity to be where he wanted to be for the revolutionaries. Which, if that is true, that would be fantastic. Which and oh my gosh, I think you might be a genius. That it just explains everything. But all right, anyway, we see the pirates, and we find out that the pirate that has it, his name is, let's see, where'd it go? What was his name again?
Yes, Barrel or something.
Yeah, which which is, and he's a former Marine guy, and it's worth pointing out that you've got Diaz Drake later on. So I'm just wondering, is he connected, I think, maybe?
Probably. Probably someone of his form would be like, hey, Oda Sensei, okay, you have this Diaz Barrels, and is he related to Diaz Drake? because they have like the same last name, because you know, last name comes first. So yeah. It's like, are they related? And it'll just be like, well, and they make up the story and go, okay, they're related. That'd be hilarious.
That would be a, speaking of hilarious, we get to see Rocinante show off his powers, where he activates his power and he smashes a vase, but it makes no sound, and he's got this ridiculous grin on his face.
Oh my god, Charlie Chaplin.
And it's like the entire, it's like he's blowing stuff up with a bazooka, no sound, and the entire time he's just like, ha ha. And I love, I absolutely love Law's reaction. It's like, what a stupid, useless power. It's not cool at all. Baby Five's arms food is better. And Rocinante is like, I know, I'm jealous of her. Which, you know, the thing, interesting thing about her power is that in our world, that would be a freaking amazing power, considering that how advanced our weapons is. But there, it's like, you know, they still have, like, you know, flintlock pistols and rifles and whatnot, so it's not as good, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but then again, maybe she can develop a better gun, but, or probably a kind of, a gun that doesn't have to reload, obviously.
A flamethrower?
Possibly. But nah.
It shoots fire. It has to be something that shoots bullets. It's a devil fruit, but then, flamethrowers aren't really guns, are they?
Well, they're weapons. It never said, I mean, she's turned into bombs. She's turned into swords. So she can turn into weapons. A flamethrower is a weapon.
Huh.
But yeah, anyway, Rocinante steals the fruit. And we get to see how he is quite a bit of a ninja there. Because he's nobody can hear him. He can do whatever he wants and he makes no noise. But then he trips and they find him.
Wow.
Oh, Cora, you idiot. This was a fantastic chapter. I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. It's just so much fun. It's just, I mean, yeah, what else can I say? I've said what needs to be said. It was absolutely fantastic. And there's things that we've pointed out that are really, really fun. Whew. Ugh, I'm getting tired. All right. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
It was a great chapter, and yeah, with the whole Korra being clumsy, I'm amazed that Oze would turn, you know, like how Sanji's nobly becoming a major deadly thing for him. The clumsy thing might just spell almost the end for Korra, but then again, it's not where you're gonna die.
Yeah, obviously not. But yeah, indeed. All right, let's move on to Naruto chapter 697, Naruto and Sasuke part 4, where they use up their final ultimate big attacks, and now finally we get to see more of what I was hoping for, which is just them using weapons and their smaller techniques and just beating up on each other, but not having enough strength to really, really do it.
Yep.
And so, and then there's flashbacks and whatnot, and we get to see, yeah, Sakura wakes up and she's like, where are Sasuke and Naruto? And it's like, they're fighting their final battle in order to settle things for good. I am just praying that Sakura is angry at Sasuke for trying to murder Naruto, because if she doesn't consider the friendship of the person that was there for her all along versus the guy that she had a crush on but has tried to murder her before, then I'm just going to say, Kishimoto, you don't know how to write characters. This is absolutely atrocious. But the fights are good. I especially like the bit where Sasuke, even though it's absolutely hacks, the way Sasuke steals the rest of the Naruto's chakra that the that Kurama had given him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, still, I like how it's become more, a much more visceral fight, you know? It's like, you know, just the two, none of this magic giant attack bullshit, it's just them beating each other up, which is what I was hoping for more. So.
Well, that's kind of what Naruto wanted the whole time. He wanted to just beat each other up.
It was a fun chapter, I have to say. I mean, granted, overall, this series is not ending well. It will not end well. It cannot end well. I've lost all hope for this series. But at the same time, this was more enjoyable than some of the previous chapters have been.
It was amusing with the two small panels where, you know, with the whole gag of Naruto and Sasuke just shouting at each other. Mm. That actually happened.
Yeah. Indeed. All right, let's move on to Nisekoi chapter 144. Yep. Sleepover, which I was actually kind of surprised that this story kept. I thought that the punchline at the end of the last chapter was going to be just that, but no, we get to carry on where they're like, oh, well, we can't leave. There are no buses, so let's move the beds apart and put a partition. Oh, no, it's awkward. Okay, we'll use the bath together, but oh, no, it's a
Decode that. Well, obviously, what you think.
Indeed. Yeah, and of course, the expressions when they see each other are hilarious. And then they have a little heart-to-heart where Raku's remembering, wait a minute, she said that she would be happy, she'd be happy if I was her first love. And then he asks her, but before she can answer, she ends up passing out.
This time it wasn't her fault, but I was expecting her to pass out.
Yeah. But then, yeah. And then, of course, you got the scene where she's like, did you see? And it's like, oh, geez, Raku, you are a better man than about 80% of the men on this world. He didn't.
Yep.
He actually stood so that, held her up so that she could breathe, but waited for for her aunt to come and help her get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then of course they end up being unable to sleep, but they sleep on each other's shoulder / head when on the way home, and it's adorable.
Insert loud squealing.
Indeed.
From one side of the fan.
Yep. I thought this was a fun chapter.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, granted, if you don't care for Onodera, you may not enjoy this as much, and it's kind of hard for me to enjoy it knowing that Onodera is not the end game, or at least assuming she's not the end game, which makes it a little hard, but at the same time, what's nice about Nisekoi is that it's good enough that I can enjoy these on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little stories on their own are fun. They're nice. So I hope it ends well, but I hope that it keeps going for quite some time. Right. Let's talk about One Punch Man, Punch 38.
Oh, that cover chapter right there.
That's kind of horrifying looking.
This guy is more horror. This guy is horror better than Junji Ito. I mean,
yeah.
Well, not that horrifying, but yeah.
We also get to see King's backstory, where all the times that he was attacked by monsters and he thought that, you know, and he was going to die, but then someone came and saved him.
I see that one Piccolo-looking alien dude.
Yeah.
In the panel. There you go. There's your answer.
Yep. And then you also get an interesting moment where he's like, the truth is, and then the bird shrieks and he's yelling at the top of his head. But he's like, you know, like, oh, did he hear him? But then Saitama's like, oh, he did hear him. He's like, is this true, that your battle histories are false? And then what's kind of interesting is we see where he got the scar for the first time. And what's worth pointing out is there's a bit of an error there. Because if you look at the very first page, you see that he doesn't have a scar. And then the second one, he has his scar. However, if you look at the very first page, he has his regular long hair. But when we see when he actually gets his scar, his hair is short.
Oh.
So I think that's, methinks that's an error there. But turns out he was saved by someone that's like a hero in training. It turns out it was Saitama that saved him.
When Saitama had hair.
Uh-huh.
I gotta admit, Saitama's a pretty cool whip world without hair, but... Hmm.
But so Saitama's like, so people believe you're the strongest. What are you going to do? Keep lying? Quit being a hero? And he's like, I don't know. But then this was so fantastic, where Saitama says, well, in that case, why don't you get strong? And you're just like, I really, 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 really hope that that's King's character arc, is actually becoming the strongest man in the world, or at least becoming someone as strong as Saitama, so that he can... Because, you know, it would be bad, because it's sort of like, we can understand why he didn't say anything, but people would be like, oh, wait, you're not actually strong, but you kept getting all this money, what the heck's this all about? Or continue being a hero. He's gonna die if he does that, so...
Mm-hmm.
I really do hope that his character arc is actually becoming stronger. So, I thought this was an absolutely fantastic chapter.
It was better to read this way than the other part. Yeah. I don't remember what the other part was. The other original was like doodles, and it was just really hard to read that.
True.
And feeling for it too.
Yeah, I haven't read the original, but yeah, this series does funny very well, but it also does emotional very well, so I'm glad we got at least one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Time to talk about Toriko.
Oh, yes.
Chapter 298, where we discover what female Nitro look like.
That's a female Nitro!
Indeed. What I think is also very interesting is that she doesn't have breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Which normally it's like, oh, look, it's a female monster, a female alien. Look, she has breasts. Why does she have breasts? She's a reptile or she's a bird. I mean, you get with the way the art is drawn a slight hint of that, but it's more like the way the fur or the feathers are as a stylistic choice to make it obvious that this is a female. But of course, the eyes with the eyelashes make it more obvious. And I thought that was really interesting. We also get to see the backstory of this civilization where it used to be, you know, this place where the monkeys, the humans, and the nitro, the red nitro that were slaves to the blue nitro and had escaped, were able to live together.
Well, the humans were slaves too.
Yeah, the humans and the certain types of nitro were slaves. So I thought that was very interesting. And we also find out that she was one of the nitro that escaped back during in the Gourmet Pyramid when they killed the other nitro. So well done. Calls back to that. And yeah. So they're basically trying to say, okay, what should we do? We need to, you know, the pear is part of the Monkey King, so we need to get it. And she's Kaka, which, jeez. Shima Bakuro, you infant.
Wait, her name's Kaka. Wait, what does that mean?
Kaka face! Kaka face! I'm pretty sure that was entirely meant for the English-speaking audiences.
But, yeah. I don't know what you just meant, but I think I have an idea.
It means poop.
You didn't need it.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, so she keeps saying, hey, you should leave Komatsu with me. And they're like, no! And she's like, okay, but it's really dangerous. It's like, we don't care. So they're going to go up to this mountain, and they will get the ingredient that they need. So, yeah. It was a fantastic chapter. I loved this.
Well, now it's starting to be similar to the whole Nami, taking Nami to the doctor.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. That is quite true. All right, let's
talk. Yes, I just said that, but okay.
Yep. All right, let's talk about World Trigger Chapter 80, Replica Part 3, where Mira uses the last of her ability to stab Osamu, and he's in his regular body, so that's going to hurt. And Osamu throws, what's his name?
Replica,
yeah.
The chapter is silent after him.
Right, yeah. Throws, throws Replica into the ship to get them to open the door. Mm-hmm. To override it. And then we see that the snipers come in, and also you've got Chica's friend. And yeah. I have to say, her cat is the most chill cat in existence. It's just sitting on her head, not giving a crap. You're like, I love that cat. And yeah, so, but then, yep, and then, what's his face? Miwa shows up and uses Fujin, and then
he obliterates Hiring.
Yep, and then, of course, the snipers come and shoot him and take him out. Oh, no, it wasn't the snipers, it was Yuma who used his ability. And then Replica opens the door. Turns out that the Trion that Osamu was carrying was a decoy, and Replica is now gone. He's managed to send the neighbors away, and now Replica is gone too. And I actually feel worse for Replica than I do for Hawk in Seven Deadly Sins, which you'll find out why. And also, I feel pretty bad for Osamu because he is bleeding out pretty bad.
Yeah, that puddle of blood does not look good.
Indeed. This was a pretty fantastic chapter as well. This is a really good week.
Mm-hmm.
My pain from being sick aside. But
I hate being sick, and I really get
me
sick.
Too. I need to whack my roommate with a 10-foot pole. Pretty sure I got sick from him. But yeah, so what did you think of this chapter?
If Replica is dead and stays dead, that would be surprising.
It would be, but at the same time, we don't really know.
Then again, he lost half of himself, so there's his.
And he was still alive. Yeah.
Yeah, so his other part's still with Yuma.
Yeah, well, no, we see that his small parts, that his small parts lost function. So chances are he's done.
Okay.
So they may. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they do like a rescue arc or something, but we'll see. Either way, this big arc is done, so now we get to go into the aftermath arc.
Yes, I want to see the so-called future crossroads, Jin.
Yeah.
How it turns out.
Indeed. All right, let's see. Let's talk about Bleach, chapter 602, Lethal Dose.
Mm-hmm.
Which was another one of those, hey, look at me doing weird powers. Basically, the dude can control the lethal dose of anything, which means that he can lower how much of a certain substance is needed to be considered a lethal dose. And he made what's-his-face's blood more toxic. Uetsu's blood. He lowered the lethal amount to the point where he could cause himself to bleed to lower the amount that's in him, but at the same time, it would have to be below the amount that would cause him to bleed out. So it's a pretty nifty power. I do enjoy when manga authors do this. But turns out that no good, because the red stuff from What's-His-Face's hot springs...
Remember me!
Yeah, replaces his blood, and then Uetsu kills What's-His-Face, and it's time to fight against YH.
Iwak? Iwak? How do you say his name?
I don't know.
Iwak?
Yeah. Good times.
I'm going to say Iwak from now on. And no, it's not meant to be funny. It's the best way I can say it.
You've been whacked, yo.
You whack.
Man, you whack, bro.
Oh my god. I want to see how cool we try to correct people. Like, that's not how you say it. How do you say it then? You whack.
You whack one
off. I don't know how to say it. I think it's Yubaha or something. I don't know. Mm.
Yes. Well, the next chapter is for, the next two chapters are for Yu-Gi-Oh! Zio and Death Note, which we're skipping those, although I will have to say that the base man in me took a second look at the chapter of, at this chapter of Yu-Gi-Oh! Zio when I realized that one of the monsters or enemies or whatever was a hot woman. So I'm like, oh dear. All right.
You missed out, bro.
Just kind of skimming through this to see what this is all about. I guess it's not a monster. She's like the spirit being thingy, I guess. I don't know. Either way. Let's see.
Hair's still atrocious.
Well, of course.
Not her hair. The main character's hair.
What? I didn't notice her hair. What about her hair?
I meant the main character's hair.
It's still pretty awful, yes. But boobies. I am distracted from the hair. But yeah. I'd say, let's see, did we have a Shokugeki no Soma chapter this week?
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay, before we move on to that, I do want to point out that there is an announcement at the end of the Weekly Shonen Jump, namely that we are getting the latest chapter of Food Wars. Yay! Hopefully they cover it, the last part that they put in one that we've already read, so that we can, so that there's a little bit of crossover, or the one immediately after what we've read, but we'll have to see. But, all right, let us open up, let's see. I said Shokugeki no Soma first, right?
It's the only one. We don't have an Assassin's Classroom chapter.
Oh, okay, so no Ask Class? Darn. Nope. All right, what chapter of Shokugeki was this?
92, Firestarter.
92, all right. What happened in this one again?
Basically, we left off with Kuro Kiba saying, hey, it's not over yet, I still have one more ace up my sleeve.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You know, and then pretty much show him making the eel Matalo, how it turns out, and I gotta say, the, etchiness is pretty high in that chapter.
Which is kind of surprising.
The fact that there's no sign of Dojima even acting up is surprising. It's surprising too.
Yeah, it is certainly surprising because we haven't gotten such itchy reactions in a while, but I guess it is... We can't really complain because, I mean, let's be honest. Anyone that's reading this far got into it because of the promise of itchy.
Especially those who say, I don't like reading this. Why are you still reading it then?
Indeed.
There's itchy, so much itchy. Dude. Why are you still reading it? Stop reading it.
Etchy.
Something else.
Yeah, basically he, the reason Kurokiba's, he uses very, very strong, bold flavors beyond the subtlety of the thingy. Whatchamacallit.
This thing is flavors and Hayama's is smells.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, so, and then it turns out that the judges, they are tied. Because one of them, what's her face, the blonde one, can't decide. Hi. Yeah, can't decide on which one. And of course, Kurokiba is furious about that. But then it's decided that for the first place, it will be a three-way match.
I thought like how Soma's just like his family was like, huh, what's going on? Kurokiba's just really pissed. I'm like, damn man, calm down.
And there's a fun scene where he looks up at the members of the Elite Ten or whatever they're called. And yeah. It's like, and then you see Irina standing there, and Soma's like, huh? When? And she looks to the side, and she's gone. Which I thought that was kind of amusing, that they actually bothered to put that in there.
So, that was funny.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so we're looking for... I really think this was fantastic because it gives us the promise of something, you know... It gives us the promise of something different than what we were expecting. By having both of them win, we're going to see something we haven't seen before, the three-way competition like that. So I am looking forward to this a lot.
It's going to be real heated.
Indeed. Bow chicka bow wow.
I wonder if the judges will still be the same, though. Hmm.
I doubt it. I don't think, because I mean, they changed the judges between what? Between Soma.
Yeah.
Group. So, all right. Or no, wait. No, they had the same.
It was after Soma versus Mimasaka. Then they changed it.
No. Actually, I think they had the same ones.
They did.
Yeah, Mimasaka and Soma. They had the same ones.
Oh yeah.
So they I think they changed it during the different rounds.
Like, this is a different round.
Like, they use the same judges for the semifinals. They'll probably swap the judges for
the finals. Yeah, this is the semifinals. So they're swapping it for the finals.
Yeah, but... All right, let's go ahead and talk about Fairy Tale Chapter 406.
The Girl and the Crystal.
Yep, and of course we see everyone fighting and...
They're fighting all these luppies.
Yeah, and you've got Warren who's like, my magic's no good for attacking, see? Like... I get it. You can say it out loud like a normal person. And then Lucy shows up and is like, wait, you're alone? And is like, yeah, it's a long story. You've got Warren is like, and looking mighty sexy. It's like you're broadcasting your private thoughts. Which I enjoy that because, I mean, the running joke has been guys not finding Lucy attractive, which is ridiculous because, you know, she's an attractive character. But so it's nice to see... Someone actually admitted as like, hey, she's sexy. Yeah, and so we kind of say, oh, hey, here's everyone. Oh, look, we've got thousands of face. And they fight Mardgear, who, it's basically a fight. I'm not going to go into details because it's not that interesting. He says something about blah, 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 using my full power, blah, blah. But he's kind of a boring villain. He's like most fairy tale villains.
He totally reminds me of some villains I used to write when I was younger, and they'd be all, oh, I'm so bad at it, I just sit in my chair, and you hit me, and I don't move, and I just go, okay.
Yeah, but we also get the reveal at the end that Fairy Tail's ultimate weapon, Lumen Histoire, involves a naked...
Mavis.
Mavis, that's it, yeah.
Mavis.
A naked Mavis in crystal, which I'm like, oh, what is this all about?
Lightsaber?
I highly doubt it. But yeah,
I'm playing Star Wars, the MMO, and I guess it's their own version of how the lightsaber is. I'm like, oh, it's pretty interesting. I just thought of that. And, oh, okay.
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
That'd be hilarious.
But yeah, and let's see. One sec. Oh, what's going on here? All right, I think it is time for us to discuss.
Yes, one more chapter.
Come on. All right, this is...
It's in volume 1, chapter 100.
Yes, 100, and it's kind of, they managed to defeat Dreyfus.
Hendrickson!
Son of a bitch!
Dreyfus is dead.
Yeah, so is Hendrickson now, you bastard. But yeah, we find out that they have a touching moment between Meliodas and Elizabeth, and then the king appears, he's like, Your Majesty! And he's standing with Merlin, who has healed him, and the king's like, somebody separate those two. And, yep, so they explain, oh, yeah, Merlin healed him, and all the holy knights are like, sorry, our bad. And then he's like, aha, we will now work so that there will be no holy war. You will repay your debt by working for the people. And then, of course, we got basically the aftermath, and then, you know, Hawk... dead. You've got Bond, who was sad, because like I said such mean things to you. They really were the cruelest things to say. And he's all like, everyone I've ever liked always leaves me. So I'm like, wait, you don't like the members of your team? Mm. But yeah, and then of course Galder is all, you know, it was actually lucky that he died, because our captain would have died if Hawk hadn't died, and we would have lost. and it's true, but Bond is like, you bastard. But then, of course, you've got Merlin who stops Bond from doing from hurting Gowther. And they have a scene where it mentions, like, oh, hey, what happened to your armor? And Gowther's like, oh, it broke. And I have to say that just from this panel alone, the shipper that I try to keep contained inside me has decided to start shipping Bon and Merlin.
I kind of don't care, but okay.
I don't know. There's just fun. There's just something enjoyable about shipping characters that have similar attitudes.
And just standing next to each other.
I know. But she's kind of... She has the cool and in control, doesn't give a crap. He...
Actually, there was something. There was something funny about one of the little interviews in each of the chapters. I think one of the questions was about how does Merlin's clothes stay on, and the creator actually said something about how they just use magic, just a little bit of magic. Magic.
Yep. Indeed. All right.
Explanation about how the clothes stay on.
Well, true. That is true. If I had magic, I'd be like, I'm going to make sure that the cloth is covering my nipples at all time. Yes, that would be the ultimate... that would be a funny... That would actually be a funny story about a wizard who is also a cosplayer and uses magic to keep the most ridiculous costumes on.
What?
It'd be funny. But okay. Anyway... Turns out that Hawk is alive, but he grows into a small little version of himself, which I was like, that's kind of adorable.
Hmm.
And then we have an interesting bit where right after Elizabeth heals Meliodas, they hug each other. But the way they're standing, she must be in a very uncomfortable position because she is resting her face against his chest. And so she must be standing with her waist bent at an extreme angle to get that... To be able to get into that position.
Ouch.
Indeed. But then also there's the bit where it's like, was their meeting by chance or necessity? The adventure that started because of their union heralds an ending at last. And my first reaction was, no!
Well, oh my god, it's not ending.
But then, of course, there's the author note. Hendrickson is destroyed and peace returns to the kingdom of Leonis with Hawk revived as well. Everything is settled. The kingdom invasion arc comes to an end. Okay, so it's talking about the kingdom invasion arc coming to an end, and the next one, chapter 101, will be a two-chapter edition. So we now actually get to see the manga will continue, and we'll get to see what the deal is with it. So, good times. This was a fun chapter. I really enjoyed the in-between chapters, you know, just the moments where the characters are able, after the big fight, the characters are able to just, you know, interact with each other. So, good times. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, Hawk being revived. That was,
True.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore.
I guess, but at the same time, I think...
here's the thing. They said that, okay, he's dead, he can't be revived. All of a sudden, he's revived. Okay, so what about the other guy, the night guy? Is he dead, too?
And there's no explanation as to why he comes back. However, there is the promise of an explanation in the fact that Hawk now has a small body. It's like he grows from inside his dead body. So methinks that the reason that he's alive has something to do with what he is, because he's obviously not a normal pig. So chances are that he has some magic of his own that means that he was able to come back while other people were not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah. I honestly give every author one fake out, okay? If they abuse it like Mashima does, then of course I get angry. But yeah. All right. I think let's wrap things up.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's
for this week, this has been Manga Cubed, episode 119 for the week of October 27th, 2014. We have gone over One Piece, volume 52 and 53. We also covered Fairy Tail, volume 43, as well as did a brief little review of the manga Frankenstein by Junji Ito. And we also went over this week's chapters, what was available. And let's go ahead and wrap things up with the author comments, starting with One Piece's Eiichiro Oda. Lately I've been getting invited out by so many people. If only I could go to all these events.
You need to find the fruit known as the clone fruit, Oda, and you will be sailing free.
That's a good point. I wonder
except
if we're going
to... Except don't fall into the water.
I do kind of wonder if we're going to get a fruit like that, except I doubt it, because that's basically what Robin's power is now.
That is true, yeah.
All right, next one.
Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. Only 3 weeks to go, so I'm trying to think of something clever to say here, but nothing is coming to mind.
I could make a mean comment about how that applies to his entire series, but Since it's almost over, I think I'll be nice.
I'll wait until he says something.
All right. Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. I finally watched the television drama Hanzawa Naoki this year, and now I'm watching Ama-chan JJ.
I'm guessing that's a Japanese way of laughing. Hehe. I don't know.
I think it's probably like, you know, well, you know how One Piece has their own laughs. It's probably the way a character in the series laughs. But anyway, next one.
Nisekoi's Nashikomi. More game talk this week. The Nisekoi PSV game comes out. PlayStation Vita game comes out November 27th in Japan. Please play it. I think he'll be playing Smash Brothers Wii U or whatever instead. Probably. Okay.
All right, Bleach's Tite Kubo. My previous editor is now my media editor. I got a new manga editor. Nice to meet you, Toya-san.
Cool. So we got a new editor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, two new editors. Okay. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. Mm-hmm. Thanks to all who submitted to the Pop Fan Art Contest in Japan.
Cool. All right.
Okay.
Oh, pardon me. It's time for
now for the rankings.
Indeed. Give us a moment. One, two, three. I'd say, one, two, three, four. Okay. My number four is Toriko.
Okay.
It was just good. I liked it. What's your number four?
Actually, it would be World Trigger.
Okay, cool. How come?
It was a little better than the rest, but it's not as good as the rest. It's just that the whole replica dying, that kind of merits it, but at the same time, I'm still not as into this series. Because it's like, I know I've been saying this a lot, but I just can't figure out why I can't enjoy it. I mean, Ashihara actually shows he enjoys this.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. It's just that his art doesn't feel like there's something to it.
I know what you mean. But it's not as bad as it was in the beginning.
No, it's not.
Number three. One Punch Man.
Okay.
I just really like the emotional impact, and it was just very well presented. I like that.
Mm.
All right, and next one?
Yeah, same, One Punch Man.
Okay, same reasons.
King... Just, realizing that Saitama was actually there, and then and then actually realizing that Saitama didn't want to take the credit from him anyway was just amazing. I mean, Saitama just just becomes stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I had better wording, but I just can't remember anymore.
Indeed. All right, number two is going to be Nisekoi for me this week.
Yeah.
It's just adorable. It's my favorite pairing in the series, so I enjoyed it.
Yep, I admit it too.
Indeed.
That, and Onodera didn't fake out like many people would have thought. I mean,
yeah.
I had a feeling she would actually faint because hot springs will, make you faint.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, of course, number one is Naruto. No, just kidding. It's One Piece.
I know.
Of course it's freaking One Piece.
One Piece.
Yeah, but indeed. One Piece is just, as usual, it is fantastic. I mean, what else can I say about it?
Also, I swear, those few panels made me actually think of Charlie Chaplin. That was just pretty awesome.
I can kind of see what you're talking about.
The whole silent film, and then you can't hear anything, but you can see it.
I can see what you mean. That is true. That is very true.
Oh my god, he's a Charlie Chaplin of One Piece.
Eh, too bad he's gonna die. Yes, indeed. All right, then. I think it's time to just finish wrapping things up. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 109. Yes, 19, for the week of October 27th, like I said. There are no questions or comments, but if you have any questions or comments, just let us know, and we will read them on the air. Send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com. And we will see you all next week, and hope you all have a wonderful day.
Yep.
See you later.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Also, the manga is always better. Jesus.